Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It's free. Comes by email every Sunday. But we won't send it to you if we don't know who you are. We never spam anybody. You gotta tell us you want it. You gotta say, hey, here's my email. Send it to me. And if you decide one day that you don't want it, and I can't imagine how or why that would happen, but if it should happen, you can unsubscribe all by yourself. You can do it yourself. We don't even have to do it for you. We make sure that if you want in, you can get in, and if you want out, you can get out. And also, don't forget to check out our blog, which is right there on the homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz and check it out there. And if you want, you can get it when you come to see us, or we'll send it to you if you want, and be glad to do that. Don't forget all the other capabilities, all the other resources that are on our website there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Rick Pinion is all over our website because he's a long-term member of our Brain Trust. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services, and he is our financial planning expert in the Brain Trust. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's good to be back again.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. And, folks, as you've heard me say before, you and I, most of us, operate in the world of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Rick is a securities advisor, securities representative, and that means he lives in the world of full disclosure, and therefore he has this sexy little soliloquy that he has to give us every time. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, Jim. I just want to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG Investment Advisors are not directly. Thank you.
Rick, tell the truth. Now, whenever you say that to an audience, a live audience, women come up to you and ask you if you're married right after that, don't they?
Well, we want to make sure they're still awake.
Hey, Rick, when we put money in a bank, when we deposit money in a bank, the federal government insures that money through the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. They insure that money up to $100,000, don't they?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When we put money into an investment company, when we give money to a brokerage house, and I guess maybe a financial planning group, you can help us with this. What is there to protect us in that case?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about the concept of SIPC this morning, S-I-P-C, which stands for Securities Investor Protection Corporation. If you notice when I did my little soliloquy earlier, I mentioned...
The sexy one?
The sexy one.
Yeah.
I mentioned that we're members of S-I-P-C as well as NASD. And I've noticed when I've been listening to the radio lately, they've been having a spelling bee where the students are trying to figure out how to spell SIPC.
They would have put another I in there, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. But that's who protects the consumer in the event of fraud or something were to happen to the investment firm. So it's a nice little organization. It's similar to FDIC, only different.
Well, but there are some differences, right?
That's for sure.
Between the FDIC and the SIPC. What are they?
Well, I think that first of all, the FDIC was established primarily for those people that were concerned about the banking system. It's almost like blanket insurance in case something were to happen to the bank.
Well, it came out of the Great Depression, didn't it? When all the banks failed and people were putting their money in their socks,
yeah,
or in their mattresses.
Right. As a matter of fact, I've never told you this, but my father worked for FDIC.
Is that right?
He was a bank examiner, and then my mom didn't want him traveling all the time, so he went into the research department.
Huh.
But he started with FDIC back when it started during the 30s, right after the Depression.
You know, I remember years and years ago meeting old people who still didn't trust banks.
Yep.
You know, people who had lived through that, who'd lost money in banks in the Depression, and they still didn't trust banks. They wouldn't put their money in a bank.
Because they went through what we call the bank holiday, when banks shut their doors people couldn't pay their mortgages, and they were lined up trying to get in. It was a horrible situation. You and I have never lived through that. Hopefully, we never will.
Nope, that's exactly right. Although banks, every year, some bank somewhere closes up. That happens.
And that's the purpose of FDIC, is to make these depositors whole again.
But when people are giving money to companies like yours, or they're depositing, so to speak, they're investing money and they give it to your company or to a brokerage house or something like that, there's some protection there for them, as we were saying. And we're going to take a quick break in a few seconds. And when we come back, we're going to get Rick to tell us what's the difference between FDIC, which most Americans understand, but most Americans may not understand SIPC, what it does, who it protects, who it doesn't protect, how much it protects, and just what you need to know about that if you're going to be doing business with folks like Rick or anybody who's in the investment business. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion. We're talking about what the government is doing to protect you in the case of the failure of any investment company. And Rick, and specifically the SIPC, Securities Investor Protection Corporation. I was having trouble getting that first word out there, Rick.
The tongue twister.
Exactly. What is the difference now? If you put money in a bank and the bank fails, the government basically just writes you a check for whatever deposits you have, up to $100,000, right?
Yeah.
But there are a few. But the SIPC isn't that automatic, is it?
No, because most people, when they go into the stock market, they realize there's risk. So this is where a lot of the confusion comes in. That's the reason I'm glad we're having this show this morning. A lot of people feel that if their investment doesn't do well, that SIPC will come in and rescue them. That's not the purpose of SIPC. The purpose is that in case something happens where securities are missing, or there's fraud involved, or the broker-dealer, we call it, or the investment firm goes bankrupt, this is where SIPC comes in to help. But they're not there to make sure that the investments perform well, and that's a huge difference. Whereas FDIC, as I mentioned earlier, provides more blanket coverage because most people that put money in banks are risk-averse.
Right.
They're not looking for risk.
Right.
That's the fundamental difference, I feel.
Well, and of course, the other thing is typically FDIC doesn't step in with a bank unless the bank fails. I mean, there's a full bank failure. If I'm not mistaken, whereas with SIPC, I'm assuming, that there are opportunities where individuals, maybe the firm has not failed, but the individual representing the firm maybe has done something wrong.
Yeah,
that's correct?
True. Yeah, that's true. And also what happens is that there's different degrees of failure, for a brokerage firm. And it can get to the point where either the person is dealing directly with SIPC, or if the brokerage firm fails, SIPC will appoint a trustee or a federal court. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Federal court will appoint a trustee to liquidate the firm and protect its customers. So there's a whole degree of different help that SIPC can provide. And, they protect most investments. There's a couple things that they don't protect. Like, for example, they don't protect commodity future contracts. They don't protect currency. They don't protect investment contracts such as limited partnerships.
Are you saying that if I have money in a brokerage firm and it's in commodity contracts and the company fails, that just because it's in commodity contracts that the SIPC won't get involved in that?
Well, that's for those particular contracts that are not registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission,
right,
under the Securities Act of 1933. So, in other words, if they're not registered with the SEC, they're not going to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
So we call those ineligible assets.
What about like a non-listed? Would that also include for like a Reg D private placement, a Reg D partnership?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look that up.
Those aren't listed with the SEC, or a private placement. That's the reason they call private placements.
Yeah, because they're outside of the purview. And also, I don't think that many people that get involved in those type of activities are really looking for a whole lot of protection. There's high risk in a lot of those.
But they may have the belief that they are protected.
Yeah.
Because what they may do is they may come in there and do a commodities contract or they may buy some coins or whatever it might be, or they may enter into a limited partnership, a Reg D, Regulation D private placement partnership, and on the way in to lay that money down, they see on the door it says member SIPC, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so they may have the false illusion that the illusion, which would be false, that money is protected.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the rule again. The rule is that SIPC will not protect those particular investments that are not registered with the mm-hmm. SEC under the Securities Act of 1933. So I guess the case could be made that they're going to protect those things that are registered and not protect those things
right.
that are not registered.
So you need to be aware of that. Speaking of that little sign, if you're going to invest with a company like yours, I shouldn't say invest. If you're going to allow a company like yours to manage, help folks manage their investments, a financial planning organization such as yours, or a brokerage house, one of the wire houses, something like that, you need to pay attention to whether they are a member of SIPC. Right? Would you recommend they not do business with an organization that's not a member of that?
Well, here's obviously we want to make sure that the consumers are protected. And when you walk into the lobby of any building, including ours, you'll see the SIPC sign. You also see it many times on the directory downstairs in the lobby. The thing that's confusing, though, is a lot of times you might have a financial institution that part of it is protected by SIPC, but they may have a subsidiary with a very similar name that's not protected under SIPC.
Or they may in your conversation maybe move you over to from the SIPC covered over to the other one.
Right. So when you get your statements in the mail, you want to make sure your statements include that verbiage somewhere on the confirmation statement saying SIPC insured.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can tell for sure, because the first thing that you can tell when a firm is getting in trouble is they stop sending out statements.
Hmm.
So that's the first warning sign right there.
Why is that? Because they just don't want you to see. They maybe don't have good news for you, because of their own management. They just don't want you to see that.
Well, there could be. Let's think about it. There could be fraud involved. They could be hiding something.
Maybe they just don't have enough money left to send out the statements. Either way, it's not a good thing. When we come back, I'm going to ask Rick, how much does the SIPC cover of your investment? Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and have a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion, who's telling us all about the Securities Investment Protection, Securities Investor Protection Corporation, SIPC, the organization, a federal organization that may protect your investment when you give money to a financial planning organization or a brokerage house or anything like that. Rick, by the way, give us your website so my audience can check out your website.
Oh, that's right, Jim. Yeah, we haven't done that for a while. It's www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial is one word, by the way, pinionfinancial.com. And when they go there, if they'd like to register, we're having a seminar coming up in February. So if you'd like us to email you the invitation, we'll be happy to do that.
And that's a free invitation just because they know me, right, Rick?
Exactly. It's a special.
and what date is that?
February 21st. And February 25th.
Is that still at the Pooks here, Marriott there, near our nation's capital there in Chevy Chase? Is that or Bethesda?
Yes, down the street from NIH and Navy Medical.
Right, right there near go straight up Wisconsin, folks. There out of Georgetown, and you'll find it. And so seriously, if you're listening and if you're in the area at all, anywhere around the Washington D.C. area. Or you just want to fly in, if you go to Rick's website and he'll give him an email, tell him you want to attend, he'll send you an invitation. And now that's you got two different dates. It's the same thing both dates?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about retirement planning and financial planning.
All right. And folks, Rick's website has a lot of other important things there that will help you. And Rick, I appreciate you making that available to folks for free. How much, if I put money in a firm like yours or another firm, a wire house, a brokerage house, whatever, and something bad happens, and it's determined that it wasn't my fault, it wasn't just that I made a bad investment, something happened, somebody did something wrong, or the company failed, how much can I be protected for?
Well, that's a great question. Let me answer it this way. If sufficient funds are not available, you know, to the firm's customer accounts to satisfy all the claims, then SIPC will step in, and they have a ceiling of $500,000 per customer. And that includes, by the way, a maximum of $100,000 for cash claims. So we have both cash claims as well as security.
So if I had money in, a money market or something like that?
Yeah, like in a brokerage firm that's sitting in cash.
All right.
That'll be $100,000. But
$100,000 plus the five, or is that included in the five?
That's included in the five.
Right. So what do you do when somebody comes to you and says, Rick, I want to get you to help me invest $1 million?
Well, it depends on the investment firm. Some investment firms will cover over the $500,000. I know that mine does. So it depends on the size and the stature of the firm.
So what do you buy? You buy extra insurance or something?
Yeah, because, for example, my investment firm, AIG, happens to be involved in the insurance business as well. So they self-insure over the $500,000. Now, some other firms try to buy additional insurance outside of SIPC. And also, there may be additional funds to satisfy the remainder of the customer claims after the cost of liquidating the brokerage firm is taken into account. In other words, SIPC has reserves as well that they can use. But for all practical purposes, let's just say that $500,000 is the ceiling at this time.
So if when I go into a firm like yours or a brokerage house or something like that, one of the big wirehouses, I should ask about their SIPC affiliation, and I should, and if I invest more than $500,000, I should say, okay, tell me what you're doing to protect the rest of that money.
Exactly. So do you have any additional coverage above and beyond the government statutory $500,000?
Right, right. Okay. How do I phrase that? What do I do? I mean, when I walk in, do I actually say, just explain your SIPC and your insurance protection, or how do I phrase that question?
Well, what I would do, Jim, is I would ask them for disclosure documents. Something that in writing that would show that if that firm failed, how would your assets be protected? Or if there was fraud involved, let's say some broker ran off with your securities.
Right.
How would you be protected? Because remember, this could be your life savings. You want to make sure that you get it right. And most firms these days have some information that they can give you in their disclosure documents.
Right. If you don't start getting reports, though, your statements, when they start missing those, you really need to start paying attention to that, don't you?
Yeah, similar to like when you don't get your bills in the mail, you worry about that.
Yeah, when we don't get our bills in the mail, they start calling, you know it?
Right.
Hey, thanks a lot for being here, Rick. Good to talk to you. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, that's great.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'll see you on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.